Now, the high cost of housing, the inability for tenants to keep up with market rents, and now the push to change eviction laws, well, they are all visceral symptoms of a core truth about this place. Boston is a city of deep income inequality. And today, the Boston Redevelopment Authority released a report with some new numbers on that divide. It finds that median income in Boston is just over $35,000 per year. But when you factor in inflation, that figure has remained unchanged for nearly three decades. Well, we're joined now with more by Matthew Ressiger. He's the senior economist at the Boston Redevelopment Authority, and he worked on this report. Matthew, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks.
So I wonder first if we can start by getting a little bit more of the data and the findings that the BRA released in this report. Talk to us more about income numbers. What do we see in Boston?
Yeah, so as you said, the median income for those with earnings in the last year just over $35,000, and that number remains where it was in 1990 once you adjust for inflation. So the bottom half has not seen great income gains over the last 25 years. I mean, even some of those working are not. Even among full-time, full-year workers, 26% are earning below that $35,000. Part-time work, some part-time work is voluntary, but we've seen part-time work remain at an elevated level coming out of the recession, suggesting that, those who whose work was relegated to part-time, as a result of economic conditions in the recession, we haven't seen, a pick back up in reemploying those people at a full-time level.
Yeah. Well, so let me just jump in here because essentially we're seeing sort of the Boston version of a national trend that people have been noting for a long time of wage stagnation for the middle class. But in Boston in particular, how does this break along racial lines?
We look at the data by race, seeing that, there are substantial, whites doing substantially better than blacks and Hispanics. One thing we look at there, breaking down by different levels of education, you see that, whites with an associate's degree making more than Hispanics with a bachelor's degree, so that, when you're looking at people with differing credentials, that there's still, clear racial disparities, throughout the labor market.
Right. Another way to sort of look at or encapsulate the income inequality challenge in Boston came this January from the Brookings Institution, where they found Boston was the most income unequal city of 100 American cities, and that the top 5% of households in Boston make at least $266,000, nearly 18 times as much as the bottom 20% in Boston. So the BRA's numbers seem to sort of delve deeper into that basic truth. But you guys also uncovered a fascinating additional complication here, and that is sort of the gap between the educational requirements of jobs in Boston versus, on average, the educational attainment in Boston. So can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's something, other researchers have pointed out as well, looking at the Boston area, is that, with the highly educated workforce that we have here, in a lot of cases, you're looking, for instance, if you look at nurses, registered nurses, a position that, if you look at national databases about kind of what, educational requirements are required for this, you would find that associate's degrees would be enough, but 87% of RNs in Boston have a bachelor's degree. And so in a lot of cases, you're trying to hit a moving target of, thinking that an associate's degree is going to be enough to get you to the position that you're looking for, but in the Boston area, it's moving one step beyond.
Yeah,
that.
And I'm
so
seeing
that's a real challenge.
I'm seeing from the BRA's report that about 40% of jobs in Boston require at least a bachelor's degree, as you were talking about, compared to less than 20% nationwide. But that again, race plays a factor here because do I have this number right? That 3/4 of all Boston residents that do have that bachelor's degree are white.
Yeah. So, I mean, the racial gaps in terms of education are quite severe, and you know, the racial gaps in terms of earnings conditional on education, there's also, you know, also you see people of color lagging behind conditional on education. So, you know, education is one component of this, and then you know, there are also, you know, a host of other components that I think, you know, we need to address, you know, throughout the city. But I think the workforce development piece is a real key, you know, a key plank here in trying to think about beginning to close those gaps.
Well, Matthew Ressiger, hold that thought for just a moment, because I want to bring in another voice here. I'm speaking with Matthew Ressiger. He's senior economist at the Boston Redevelopment Authority about a new report that the BRA has put out today about income inequality and economic realities for working people in the city of Boston. And by the way, I'm not sure I can squeeze you callers in, but I'm going to try anyway. So if you want to call in at 1-800-423-8255, that's 800-423-TALK. Would love to hear how you feel Boston's income inequality challenge has had an impact on your life. Again, that's 800-423-8255. So Matthew, stand by for just a second, because I'd like to introduce Sharon Scott Chandler into the conversation. She's Executive Vice President of Action for Boston Community Development, a major anti-poverty agency that's been working for a long time here in Boston. Sharon Scott Chandler, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So Matthew has helped set the table in terms of sort of the latest deep dive into the data about income inequality in the city. I'd love to turn to you for some perspective on how we got here. What's missing now that maybe the city had more of 20 or 30 years ago?
Well, I think, and it has been said, I mean, it's probably as dire as we've seen it in a long time, because of the ability of people to move sort of beyond poverty and have some economic mobility. I think, you know, there's been really a disinvestment at the federal level and many levels in such programs like job training and ESOL and various things that can help people get the skills they need to get higher paying jobs.
And by disinvestment, you mean cuts in federal funding for job training?
Yes. Years ago, there was a lot more funding for youth jobs. There was a lot more funding for workforce development and training, and that really has been scaled back, particularly since the recession, and we just have not had the momentum that we saw many years ago.
You talked about youth summer jobs, for example. How does that then have, how does the impact of that then reverberate year after year in the lives of the same people, for example?
Well, we've seen firsthand, because ABCD has run a summer youth jobs program for over 50 years, that a youth's first job is really their entry into the workforce. And over time, they are to, you know, continue to get their education, go to college, all of those things. But having that first job, understanding what it is to be in the workplace and to be responsible and all of those skills that are needed, they really translate to future longevity and stability in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been able to do that over the years, but I think that in much fewer numbers.
Yeah.
And that does have an impact on their adulthood.
So let me ask you about the sort of set of numbers that Matthew and I were grappling with before we drew you into the conversation, that 40% of jobs in Boston now require a bachelor's degree, a college bachelor's degree or greater. And that, of course, as we know, Boston's population is majority minority now, 53% in 2010. But that of all the college-educated residents in Boston, three-quarters of them are white. So how do we bridge that gap if clearly the present and the future of the city is with, minority residents, but there's an educational gap there for the jobs that the city has teed up?
Absolutely. I think that really, the investment in education is how we need to help reduce that gap, starting at the earliest ages with early childhood education through higher education. It's that access that low-income families, people of color, those who are new arrivals to Boston, they need to be able to access high-quality education at every level, which then as you can see from the numbers, translates into better jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I promise I'm going to try to squeeze in one call or two if I can, because this is an issue that really has an impact on so many of our listeners. So let's go to Kristen, who's calling from Arlington. You're on the air, Kristen.
Hi. So I am a teacher in Arlington, but I live in Harvard because I can't afford to live anywhere near the city. And my husband and I are both teachers with high education. We both have our master's degree. So my concern with the income inequality is, even though there are people nowadays that are getting higher degrees, at what point are we all going to have our doctorate? Because many people that I know that are my age in their early 30s have their master's and still aren't able to get jobs that put them anywhere above $50,000 or $60,000. So that's kind of something that's been on my mind lately.
Kristen, thank you so much for your call. Sharon Scott Chandler, can I just get your quick thought on that?
Yes, it's something that we all struggle with, particularly those we're trying to get even an associate's degree and bachelor's degree. That's what the report focuses on, is that it's the jobs and the industries that are increasing the jobs require more and more education. And of course, those that that do go into the field of education and those kind of things, the salaries are not keeping pace with the cost of living and the cost of everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew Ressiger, let me bring you back in here. You're with the BRA. I mean, workforce development, whether it be through increasing educational attainment or, as Sharon was talking about, training, is clearly a part of the picture here. But, you know, what can the BRA itself do? Are there any policies or policy instruments that the BRA could wield to lessen this problem?
The problem the caller is speaking about seems, you know, really to be an affordability problem in the area, and certainly, the BRA is certainly working day and night to try and come up with and as well as other city departments around here to come up with solutions, to try and ease, housing affordability issues in the city amongst some of the other affordability issues. I think, workforce development, fits into a holistic, set of challenges here that really center around making sure people can afford to live here. Part of that's getting people the income they need to especially those with lower levels of education, to get them, the opportunities to raise their incomes. Part of that, has to come on the cost side as well, whether that's housing or better transportation access. It's a host of challenges we're facing.
Yeah, and Sharon Scott Chandler, suddenly it occurred to me that, we've been talking about Boston as a whole. But of course, if you look at the detail more granularly, as in many places, there are different parts of the city that are in need of or face the challenge in different ways. Like, for example, I'm looking at some numbers that we actually got from John Drew, your boss there at ABCD, and he said that the city as a whole right now has a 5% unemployment rate, so that looks great. But on the other hand, in parts of Roxbury, Dorchester, and Mattapan, for example, the unemployment rate is 40%. So should the city be doing a better job at targeting neighborhoods that need the most help?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we know, because most of our work is done in the neighborhoods that need that most help, as you're saying. And things shift. I mean, the neighborhoods 40 years ago looked a little bit different, and so we have to adapt to where the need is greatest, taking into account that still people in need live in all sectors and neighborhoods of the city. But clearly the concentration of poverty in those areas that you mentioned needs to be addressed in a specific way, because it does kind of camouflage the issue if we only say that it's in Boston, it's a 5% unemployment rate. It really does cover up the need.
Well, Sharon Scott Chandler is Executive Vice President of Action for Boston Community Development, an anti-poverty agency. It was great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Matthew Ressiger, Senior Economist at the Boston Redevelopment Authority. He worked on this new report about the granular data regarding income inequality in the city of Boston. Matthew, thank you so much as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, we've got more information about this report. Go to our website, radioboston.org. And while you're there, let us know about how income inequality has had an impact on your life. Again, it's radioboston.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Radio Boston.